What an awesome worship team we have, huh? Just awesome. Thank you, guys. That was just, it's incredible. Before we get started, I should have done this at the beginning, and I didn't kind of go over the schedule for the weekend. So tonight, we'll do tonight, and then tomorrow morning, we have a session at 9:30, and Luke is going to share, and Sam is going to share. We're going to do worship. It's going to be awesome. And then we have Eucharist, our noonday Eucharist, at 12 o'clock. And then we'll break for lunch after that. So about 12:45 or 1. Come back here about 2:30, and we're going to just minister prophetically to you guys. We're going to have some prophetic teams. So bring your phone so you can record your words. You can go individually, or if you want to go in groups as a family, to just come, just a time for just our prophetic teams just to speak over you and speak some things for the Lord into you. And then tomorrow night, we'll come back at 7 and worship again. And we have a speaker coming from Birmingham, Jared. His name's Jared from the Prayer Furnace. There he's going to come and give the word. It'll be awesome. And then Saturday morning will be our last session. We'll start at 10. We'll have worship, and Bishop Jones is going to be speaking that session. And so we have in the back, on the back table, we have brochures for all the leaders. Please take one. All these times that I told you are all on there. And please, it's important. You know, do your best to be here, to be on time, and to be attentive to what the Lord wants to do. Because like Luke was saying, you know, we're here for Him. I mean, He blesses us, but we're here to bless the Lord too. So once again, we're just so excited. This is really kind of just a dream coming true. To have a youth conference and to do it under Aslan Roars, and it just kind of developed, and it was just the Lord, and we're just so grateful that you're here. As I get started, Lauren, you want to pray for me, please? Thank you. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. I've read Philippians all my life, but just a few months ago, this verse just really stood out to me. The Lord, and I shared a little bit in my youth group, but the Lord's just really been speaking to me. See, I have a real passion for youth. Okay, all of you guys who are youth age, really zone in for a little bit and kind of listen. I'm the principal at our school. I'm the youth leader. I do youth 24/7. And I'm not crazy. I just love it. I love the youth age. I love you guys. Because you're passionate. You're looking for something real. And I want to see a generation that the Lord raises up that understands what's real. And what's real isn't what the world has to offer us. What's real is what the Lord has for each and every one of you. And I just get frustrated watching sometimes, and even in my own life, because the enemy, he's just so sneaky. And he's just so crafty. And you know, and it says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So for a long time, I was asking the Lord, I was saying, Lord, you know, I know the things to do, but I am so tired of getting hit with warfare by the enemy. It seems like I'm talking about the enemy more than I'm talking about you, and that just doesn't seem right. And the Lord said, well, it's not. And so I started reading in Philippians in chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. It says this. Paul says this, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or you remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now this is my favorite part. In no way alarmed by your opponents. In no way alarmed by the enemy, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a salvation for you. Y'all, I've read that forever and never really stopped and read it. And it was like one day it hit me like a ton of bricks. It is spelled out in Scripture. When you are in no way alarmed by the enemy, it is an actual sign of destruction for them. That's so easy. In no way, it sounds so easy, right? And so I just started talking to the Lord about this and just reading and speaking to me. And what the Lord was saying is when we aren't alarmed by the enemy, it is an actual sign of destruction for the power of darkness that's over you. See, when the enemy whispers a lie to us, Can you guys relate? Pay attention for just a minute. How many of you did the enemy whisper a lie to maybe come in here? Like, you don't look good enough. You're not going to fit in. Nobody really wants you there. Nobody likes you. What you're wearing looks stupid. Don't worship. Everybody's going to think you're stupid. If you raise your hands, oh my gosh, you're going to be the only one who does it. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hands, but you can if you want to. Did you have any of those thoughts today? Do you understand what I'm talking about? A whisper from the enemy? He just a little whisper in your heart of how you might not fit in or how stupid you might look or this and that. Girls struggle with what you're wearing and, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's that whisper. And when the enemy whispers to us a lie, we have two choices. You can either believe the lie or stand against it. You have a choice. Once the lie is spoken, are you going to believe it or are you going to stand against it? When you believe the lie, and y'all, it's unfortunate, but I've made a habit in my life in the past of believing the lie. So I'm telling you this from a place of I've done it so many times that like I just invited the lie in. But when we believe the lie, we're actually adding our yes to the lie. And we come into agreement with it. So let's say the enemy whispers to me, you don't need to worship because you're just going to look stupid. There's no point and everybody thinks you look stupid. So I don't worship. I'm adding my yes to that lie. I'm inviting the enemy now to come in more. So when we believe the lie, we add our yes and we come into agreement with it. And we empower the liar. See, he doesn't have any power over us until we put our yes with that lie. Until we come into agreement with what he says. And when you come into agreement with what he says, you actually empower the liar. You invite a dark cloud to loom over you. When we say yes and give in to the warfare and give in to the lie and we agree, man, it just empowers the enemy. It invites a dark cloud to loom over us and we invite the enemy to oppress us. Now, I don't know if you fully understand the definition of oppression. Okay, when we agree with the lie, we are inviting oppression upon us. This is what oppression means. Cruel or unjust treatment or control. Mental pressure or distress. Have any of you ever had mental pressure? Like what goes on between your ears? I don't know about you, but that's where I struggle the most. It's not on things on the outside, but it's things that happen that I think of in my head, in between my ears. And when I agree with the lie from the enemy, and I put my yes with it, not only am I empowering him, but I'm giving him power to oppress me. I'm giving him power for cruel or unjust treatment or control over me, mental pressure, and distress. And that's not a way to live. If you're in a constant state of mental pressure and distress, you're not inhabiting what God has for you. We are not entering into his best for us. Instead of giving power to the Lord, we've empowered the wrong person. We've actually given power to the one we're trying to stand against. And the enemy has just set this trap for us. And we fall into it time and time again. But it's so easy to get out of. Because when you don't agree with the lie, what happens when the lie hits? What happens when I think a thought and I go, nope, I'm not going there. And I take captive over that thought and I don't agree with the enemy. Instead of empowering the liar, you actually empower the presence of the Lord to come over you. And instead of that dark cloud comes grace and comfort. When we say no to the liar, not only does he have to leave, but the presence of the Lord comes over you. And instead of oppression, there's grace and comfort. So if I had my hands like this and I said, Will, you get to pick. It is completely your choice. Do you want oppression or do you want grace and comfort? Well, which one do you think he's going to pick? Grace and comfort, right? Does anybody in here want to pick oppression? No, I don't think so. We're going, no, we want the grace and comfort. And it's as easy as this. We've got to stand against the lie. We can't let the enemy come in with these darts and just shoot them into our head. And we got to go, I'm not going to empower the liar, but I'm going to empower the presence of the Lord. And with that comes grace and it comes comfort. And when you do that, when it says we do that, when we are not alarmed by our opponents, I'm not alarmed. It's just a little lie coming this way. Well, Lord, you take that captive. I'm not even fazed by it. It says that it's a sign of destruction for them. And what the Lord kind of showed me a couple of months ago in this sign of destruction, it's like, have you been to, you know, you've been to a concert or a football game, and they get over that loudspeaker and they talk in that voice and it's really, really loud and like hundreds of thousands of people can hear it? Okay, it's like the Lord gets on the loudspeaker over darkness and he says, guess what? You are defeated. You can't mess with that person. It reminds them this, that they have been defeated, that they are still defeated, and that they will forever be defeated. Forever be defeated. It's as simple as not believing the lie. When we don't believe the lie and we stand against it, it reminds them. It tells them of their destruction. It tells the darkness, you have no power here. You have been defeated. And why is that, y'all? Bishop Chuck says this all the time. We aren't fighting a battle for victory. Guess what? You aren't fighting for victory tonight. Victory's already yours. You are fighting from a place of victory. You're fighting from a place with the Lord's presence going before you, and he's already defeated them. And they will forever be defeated. You don't have to have victory. We're going to look at that in a minute. You just need to stand in the victory that's with you. In order for us not to be alarmed by the enemy, the first part of that verse is so important. And it's in the first part says this, I will hear that you are standing firm. Now this is you and the Lord. That's you. Listen to this, what he's saying. That you are standing firm in one spirit with the Lord, with one mind with the Lord, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It says in the Bible, when we do these things, and the enemy comes against us and we're not alarmed by it, it's a sign of destruction for him. See, when you're moving in the direction of following the presence of the Lord, of following the Lord, when you're moving in the direction of running after him, it makes it so much easier to ignore the lie. It's so much harder to ignore the lie when you're caught up right in the middle of where the devil wants you to be. Think about that. When you're right in the will of the Lord, it's a lot easier to not believe that lie than it is when you're actually where the devil wants you to be. He's kind of got his grips on you. And so how do we get there? Well, one thing we've, for the past, I don't know, it's taken me a long time, year and a half, in my youth group, I've been teaching the Song of Solomon. And one thing that the Lord told me about that was we've got to learn who we are. See, in order for you to run after the Lord, you need to know who you are and what he says about you. And we talk about being a hidden one, one that's hidden underneath the shelter of his wings, that's running after the Lord, that's seeking after him, that is, has this set-apart time, just you by yourself, to where you can hear the Lord speak things to you and over you, one who is living their life sold out for Jesus. And above anything else, I want to see a generation that the Lord just raises up that are hidden ones. Ones that are going, I'm sold out for Jesus. And where he says go, I'll go. When he says speak, I'll speak. And you're so connected to him. You're so hidden with him that it's just easy for you to move in that direction. Because see, when you're running, you can't run in two directions. Have you ever seen a dog chase his tail? Like, when they chase his tail, he just runs in circles, right? Do y'all, like, Grace loves these YouTube videos, and she showed me one a long time ago. This dog chasing his tail, and he ran in circles so much he just fell over. Okay, have you ever seen a dog just run, chase his tail so much? Well, that's what happens when we get caught up in running in two directions. See, you can't be running after Jesus and get hit with the lie and believe the lie and embrace the lie and start running this way, you end up running yourself in circles and you wear yourself out. You can't run in two directions. We got to draw a line in the sand and decide which way we're running. Are we going to run after the Lord? Or are we going to run after the things of the world? Y'all, when you run in the direction of the Lord, you got to know where the Lord, where He's coming from. He sees you, and this comes from Song of Solomon, as altogether beautiful. The Lord says this about you. Listen very carefully. This is one of my favorite things. He says, you are altogether beautiful, and there is not one spot or blemish inside of you. The Lord, the King of Kings, says there's not one spot or blemish inside of you. He says you're black, but lovely. He sees your weakness, and He says, I can use that for my power. He sees your weakness, and He goes, that's what's going to draw you after me. The Lord's not scared of that. The Lord's not scared of that. He says, you're black, but lovely. You are altogether beautiful. You are sons and daughters and seated in heavenly places with Him. Right now, that's who you are. That's who you are. You are seated in heavenly places with the Lord. If we're seated in heavenly places with Him, then it's got to be easy when the enemy comes in with a lie for us to go, nope, not even go in there, which brings destruction to him. Because in heavenly places, it's just easier than worldly places, right? It says in Romans, this is my, I love this in Romans. This is Romans, I'm getting ahead of myself here, chapter 8, verse 14. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now listen very carefully. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoptions as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You haven't received a spirit of slavery, of fear again. It's not happening. The Lord's going to break that off and you're done with that. You've received an adoption of the Father. You are now grafted into everything He has. We're not fighting just for victory. We're fighting from victory. You're fighting from a place of the Lord ruling and reigning in your life. See, when you run after Him, you've aligned yourself with the will of God. You've aligned yourself of a place of victory because He's already gotten the victory. You don't have to go after the victory. I've gotten here recently. Kind of recently. I don't like scary movies at all. Do you guys do scary movies? I know some of you do. I can't stand the scary movie. But I will watch some dramas. And I like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, Captain America, that kind of stuff. But y'all, when I watch those movies, I'm just horrible to watch the movies with. It stresses me out. If I watch a movie for the first time, I'm stressed out the whole entire movie. I mean, if I'm by myself, I'll fast forward it to the end, and then I'll go back and rewatch it again. It stresses me out not knowing the ending. I mean, I cannot take it if I read a book, reading a book, and it's just a little bit suspenseful, and I'm like, I've got to know what happens. I'll read the last chapter. Once I know what happens, I'll go back and read the whole thing. I can't stand not knowing. And I was really talking to the Lord about this week, and He said, you know what? A lot of my people spend their life in that same torment of going, they're living their life stressed out about the next moment, stressed out about the next school year, stressed out about the next encounter with their friends, stressed out about the next thing. Can you relate any to that? I know I can. I mean, it's easy to live your life going, you're stressed for this moment, and you're stressed, and then that moment happens, and it turns out good. Then there's the next moment that to be stressed out for, just like that movie. If I could just fast forward to the end, it would be so much easier to go back and live it out. And the Lord said, guess what? You know the ending. I am the ending. There's victory. There's victory. Your ending with Him is already complete and is good because He's good. I don't have to live my life like watching those stupid movies, stressed out, fast forward to the end, going back and rewatching it again. Now I can be happy now that I know what happens. It doesn't stress me out anymore. The Lord said, quit living like that. Quit living stressed out and full of fear and full of anxiety. That's agreeing with the enemy when you're like that. That's empowering the liar to oppress you, to magnify, to intensely stress you out. I don't have to do that. There's victory in Jesus. I'm coming from that place. And in Galatians 2:20, it says this, and this verse really lines up with this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I don't have to live my life stressed out anymore. I don't have to live my life stressed out of how the enemy's going to mess things up. You want to know why? Because Christ, who is all and can do all, now lives inside of me. And all I have to do is sit and rest in the fact that he is and forever will be, and he has all victory in his name. All victory. There's no more stress. There's no more fear about the future. Well, what if it turns out the way I wasn't planning? It's not my plans. I don't have to worry anymore. I can rest in the fact that the one who has victory over all now rules and reigns in my life. And y'all, my favorite picture of this is Song of Solomon. And hang on, let me flip to it. But when you talk about resting in the Lord, resting in what he has for you, it's easy to say, but it's kind of hard to wrap your head around. How do I fight but rest at the same time? And I struggled with this for a while. Lord, how do I fight? How do I say no to the enemy? How do I not be alarmed by him, rest in you at the same time? And in Song of Solomon gives us this great description. This is chapter 3, verse 6. It says, what is this coming up from the wilderness? Now picture yourself. Picture you and whatever your situation is. You're coming up from the wilderness like columns of smoke. That's the glory of God all around you. And that smoke is the smoke of victory. So the enemy thought he had his hands on you, but you're going, nope. I'm not going there. I'm not empowering the liar. I am going to empower Jesus and his presence over me. And now I can rest back, coming out of the wilderness with smoke all around me, smoke of victory, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. And myrrh and frankincense are the spices of death and resurrection. See, I've been crucified with Christ. I was crucified with him. There is death and resurrection. That last song we sang is one of my favorites. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. See, he's resurrecting me. I have all the resurrection. He is resurrection through me. He is resurrecting me. And so I'm coming out, and with all the scented powders of the merchant, which speaks of how just awesome the Lord thinks we are, how just we're the pearl of great price. And it says, behold, it is the traveling couch of Solomon. Now, you're resting now in this couch. 60 mighty men around it. For each one of us, there's a place of rest where there are 60 mighty men around it, of the mighty men of Israel. All of them wielders of the sword, expert in war. Each man has a sword at his side, and I love this, guarding against the terrors of the night. All 60 of them surrounding us, guarding against the terrors of the night. What are the terrors of the night? Have you ever gone and just had an awesome encounter with the Lord, and you get home and nobody else is there, and it's just you, and the enemy starts coming in and going, that didn't really happen. It didn't happen. You just felt that. It's not a real thing. And he whispers to you in the night. And the Lord's saying he can't touch you. Terrors of the night can't touch you. What the Lord speaks in the day, darkness cannot come over. I heard a guy speak a prophetic word today, and he said he was in Alaska a couple of weeks ago doing a worship service. And it was 24-hour thing, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and he was worshiping, and the sun was up, because the sun this time of year just doesn't go down in Alaska. And he said it was just him and a few people, and he was playing, and he said, well, Lord, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done. I'm worshiping at 1 o'clock in the morning, and the sun is shining. And the Lord said this. He said, that's because the sun is always shining. In the spiritual world, the sun is always shining. Darkness cannot creep in. Y'all, he never goes to sleep. He never turns his back on you. Darkness cannot come. Terrors of the night cannot come because his presence is always there. His presence is always there. So if we go back to Philippians, where the Lord is saying, I am no longer alarmed by my opponents. It's like a speaker's going off in hell, reminding them of their pending doom. And so how do we do that? How do we get there? How do we become not alarmed by the enemy? Well, one, you have to learn how to take thoughts captive. Now, when I just really, Lord started setting me free, I've struggled, just big time with rejection. I could be like the poster child for rejection. I'm just always thinking they didn't want me around and they didn't like me and they did this and that. And so probably 1,000 times a day, I got hit with lies from the enemy. You're not good enough. Nobody wants you. You look stupid. Blah, 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 all day long. And every one of those fights, every one of those lies, when I finally decided to fight, I would have to take them captive. Lord, I take and I sent it to the foot of the cross. Lord, I take that thought captive and I sent it to the foot of the cross. And y'all had to do that time and time again. But as the days went on and the weeks went on, I noticed I had to do it less and less. And now it's even less than that. See, you got to make a habit. You got to right now go, okay, I'm going to fight against the terrors of the night. I'm going to fight against the lies. So when the enemy comes, he doesn't even knock me off my step, which reminds him of his pending doom. Because you know the enemy is just a toothless coward, right? Like it says when we see him one day, we're going to be like, that's what was messing with me? This toothless little coward brought all this terror to life? But the Lord's saying it doesn't. Way. It doesn't have to be that way. We can put it into the lies. We have to come to a place, guys, where running after Jesus is far more important than running after the things of the world. Because once again, you can't run in two directions. But if you're going, yeah, that's where I want to be, the Lord's going to meet you there. And even tonight, I just really feel like there's just the Lord just really wants to do a breakthrough. There's just some things, there's just some lies that the enemy's been speaking. You know, so even right now, the Lord just wants to come in and he wants to overshadow you and he wants to set you free. And he began that in worship. During worship, I kept seeing like an open heaven over us. And the Lord kept saying, I'm willing to give for whatever you're willing to get. So there's got to be a willingness on your part to go, Lord, I want to get rid of this. Lord, I want more in this area. Lord, I want freedom here. And there's freedom. It was already released during worship, but there's freedom here tonight. And the Lord wants to set people free from believing the lie. Right now, the Lord, even as I've been speaking, if I've been speaking to you, the enemy's just trying to come in and going, yep, not going to happen for you. You're not going to get set free. But guys, I got news for you. The Lord wants to set you free. You got to make a step in his direction. And he's going to not just meet you halfway. He's going to come running to you and overshadow all of that. And it's really as simple as this. We've got to put our yes with the Lord, with the presence of the Lord. And quit putting our yes with the liar. We got to quit putting our yes and empowering the enemy to oppress us and say, nope, I'm not going there. Which tells them they have no power over you, and it empowers the Lord to overshadow you and to bring grace and comfort every time you call on him. Does this make sense? Just shake your head anyway. But I really feel tonight, I do. I just feel like the Lord just wants to do that. So here's what we're going to do. If that's you, if you're going, you know what? The enemy's been lying to me. I've been hit, and I've had enough. I'm just ready for him to shut up in my head. I'm ready for him to get out of my head. He's going to do that for you tonight. And so we're going to put on some... Can we put it on a song back there in a minute? We're going to put on some music. If that's you, I want you to come up here. Yeah, you're going to have to step out in front of your friends. And I want you to come up here and we're going to pray for you. We've got people who's going to minister to you all over this place, and we're just going to pray for you. So I'm going to pray, and when I finish praying, if you're going, that really spoke to me, and I'm ready for the Lord to take this from me, and I'm ready for the enemy to get his hands, get his grip off of me, I'm just going to invite you to come up here, and we're just simple as we're just going to pray for you. We're going to lay hands on you, okay? Well, let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for this group. Father, I just thank you for the freedom that you've already released here tonight. Lord, just for every youth that's here, Father. Lord, I just pray that you just, Lord, that you just move. Father, we've had enough of the enemy coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Father, and tonight we say enough's enough. Lord, and we no longer put our yes with the enemy. We are no longer going to believe the lies, but Father, we are going to put our yes with you and empower you. So right now, Father, I just ask that you just move, Lord. You just move into hearts, Father. Lord, and just move, just Father, just total freedom for each and every person here. Father, and I just thank you for that freedom. Lord, that this is going to be a weekend of just total freedom in you. Lord, and an awakening of our senses to you. Father, I just thank you for that, Lord. And I just, even now, Father, I just speak to every heart here. Lord, that as we even go home tonight, Father, that we'll just make a decision in our heart to run after you. Lord, that you're so much better than anything this world has to offer. Lord, and we just give it all to you, Father. We just lay it down and give it all to you. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. So if that's you, we're going to put some music on. If you want prayer, you just come up here, and we're just going to individually come pray for you, okay?